Welcome to the Covenant Life Church podcast. We hope this message allows you to know God, find freedom, discover purpose, and make a difference.
It's been served in my spirit to share with you guys this morning, and I would entitle the message called The Signs of the Times. Amen. And how many of you are planning on watching the eclipse tomorrow? A few of you, some of you are like been there, done that. I'm going to go watch it. I want to see it. I was a little kid the last time I got to see one, and so I'm actually looking forward to it. Not looking forward to all the traffic and stuff, but I'm excited to be able to go see it. And if you've been on the internet at all, you know that there are a million different responses, commentaries, thoughts about what's going on. You've got all the way from those that are saying, you know, the rapture is going to happen tomorrow to, you know what I'm saying? You've got this gamut of things. And so I'm actually not this morning here to teach you on all of that. I would encourage you, you need to make sure that whatever you hear, it lines up with the Word of God. Amen. And number two, there's a witness in your spirit. Because there's so many voices today that are speaking to it. But I want to bring a perspective to you today that I believe will help you. You know, I believe in the signs. I believe in what God's doing. And I'm going to show you through the Word that signs have always been a part of God's work and creation and in our lives. And we ought to pay attention. We ought to look. We ought to understand, right? But there are some things that I think if you're not careful, you'll be so fixated on the next sign that you won't actually understand the signs that actually ought to be working in your life every day. Amen. And y'all know that I'm more practical than anything else. And so I want to help you make sure that you're focused on the right things and have understanding of that. So, you know, in our life, there's signs. We see them every day, right? Most of the time, most of the signs we ignore. Lift up your hand if you're one of those. Amen. Right? Most of the time we see something all the time, we're used to it, or, you know, I've walked up and the door said push and I pulled. You know what I'm saying? It's like, it's right there. You know what I'm saying? And I'm like, why won't this door open? I missed the sign, right? And so we have very simple signs that we look at and we see, and many times there are things that we overlook, but we have signs that are printed signs. We have natural signs that signal the change in the seasons. Right now, you know, right now, I think the seasons are confused. They're not giving out the right signs yet. We're supposed to be moving into a little more into summer, and some, you know, it's like winter's still holding on. But we know living here that that's just part of it. But we have signs that reflect history. We have signs that point us toward the future. We have supernatural signs. Amen. How many of you have ever asked God for a sign? Come on, be honest. All right. So we've been there and we've asked God, and there's times when God's responded, right? And then there's times when it, you know, maybe it didn't seem, you know, to get the sign. How many of you ever made this statement and you've said that, you know, unless there's a burning bush outside my window, I'm not going to ABCD, right? I've said that more than once. Like, there's certain things that it's like, no, I've got to see a major sign. You know, now I've been tempted to visit a few people's houses with some gasoline and fire to light to their bushes. You know what I'm saying? I'm just kidding. I wouldn't do that. But we all have those times. So when we look at signs, we have, you know, you drive up here, you have our Covenant Life sign, right? And what does that do? It just identifies that Covenant Life Church meets here, right? It's a sign of identity, if you will, to a certain degree. We have signs that provide information, right? You go to the store and you know, you go to KFC, if you will, and what do they serve? They serve chicken, right? And it still takes some people 30 minutes to figure out what kind of chicken I want. You know what I'm saying? But the menu, the sign is there. And so we have those kind of signs in our life. We have street signs. I've been known not to pay attention to street signs and take the wrong exit many times. I even don't even listen to Siri, you know, trying to tell me the directions I'm supposed to go because I think I know better, you know. Now, sometimes I do, but most of the time I've missed it on that. Amen. We have warning signs. You know, you drive through. I don't know. There may be some here, but I know driving through Colorado, you drive through and you see signs that say, watch out for falling rocks. You know, you have warning signs, right? And we have other places that we have warning signs. And then, like I said, we have signs concerning our health. You know, things that our body tells us if something needs to adjust, something needs to be changed. And as I said, we have signs that do, you know, spring, summer, fall, and winter. There are signs that we can look for that tell us, right? And so signs are a part of our everyday life. And the Word of God speaks about signs. It speaks to that in our life. It speaks both about natural signs, about supernatural signs. Amen. And those signs are still speaking today. So let's just look at a few things in the Word. In Genesis chapter 1, I'm not going to read it for you. You can go back and read it, 14 through 18. But the Bible says He gave the sun and the moon and the stars for what? For signs. Signs for the seasons, right? Signs for us to be able to look at. And so we've got that all the way in the very beginning in creation. What about the sign of the rainbow? Amen. The rainbow is a covenant sign. The rainbow doesn't mean anything else. Amen. It's a covenant sign. And that covenant sign is God said that I'm going to give you this sign in the clouds to let you know that I will never again use a flood, right, to wipe out all of humanity, all flesh. And so every time you look up and you see that rainbow in the sky, that's not just a phenomenon. It is something that God did and He put there so that it would be a constant reminder. As long as this earth remains, it's a constant reminder of God's covenant with you and I that He is not going to flood the earth and erase all of mankind again. Amen. I don't know about you, but that's good news to me. Because there's just as much craziness today as there was in Noah's day. Come on now. And so I'm thankful that God had decided not to do that. Genesis 17, God had talked to Abraham about his future and talked to him about his seed, if you will. Talked about him, that through him the nations would be blessed, and that if he could number the stars and number the sand, then he would be able to count how many descendants that he would have. And God said, listen, there's going to be a sign about this covenant that I've made with you to give you a son, to give you offspring, and that sign was circumcision. Amen. And so that wasn't something that man just came up with. That was something that God instituted, right, for Abraham. And He put that in place as a sign that person was in covenant with God. Listen to me. Okay, so then another one is, what about the plagues? Everybody has seen it all the way from Charlton Heston to whoever the modern day actors are about the story of Moses and all the plagues that hit Egypt. Well, what did He do that for? He did it as signs to demonstrate that He was the living God, right? And it took Pharaoh 10 signs to figure that out. Right? But still, the signs were there. And then we can go, some of you may have heard about them, some of you not, but Hezekiah. Hezekiah, God told him to get his, sent Isaiah to him, told him to set his house in order. And Hezekiah wept before the Lord. And basically, he turned his face towards the wall. He wept towards the Lord. In other words, he repented to the Lord. And God sent Isaiah back and said, tell Hezekiah that I've heard him and I'm going to give him 15 more years. And then Hezekiah said, well, what's going to be the sign that I'm going to be healed of this infliction that I have? And so Isaiah said, well, do you want me to turn the shadow of the sun backwards 10 degrees, or you want me to send it forward 10 degrees? And Hezekiah said, well, I think it's easy to do it forward. He said, so I want you to do it backwards. And so what did God do? He turned the shadow backwards 10 degrees. Now, whether he froze the sun and did the rewind, I don't know. I know that he turned the shadow back 10 degrees. That's taking time, like on your watch, and turning it back. And I don't mean by the dial. I mean literally taking time and turning it back. It was a miracle, but it was a sign to Hezekiah that what Isaiah had spoken to him, the prophet, that God was going to give him the 15 more years of his life, right? So we see that personal sign with Hezekiah. And then let's go over to, and I mean, there's a ton that I could go through. I'm just highlighting a few, but over in Matthew 2 talks about the wise men, talking about the birth of Christ, and the wise men follow a star. Now, they follow a prophetic writing, but they follow a star. They said, we saw the star in the east, and they traveled days, weeks, months to be able to come to see the Messiah that was going to be born. Isn't that interesting? That these three guys, these three wise kings, they come and they travel all this time to see the Son of God who is born, and then even many of the people of God didn't even show up. So sometimes signs are out there and people just don't look at it. They just don't observe the signs. They don't see the season. Jesus, whenever he rode in on the donkey, whenever he rode in for his triumphal entry, before he did that, the Bible says he looked over Jerusalem. He looked over them and he wept. He said, because you did not recognize the time of your visitation. You didn't recognize it. Well, they didn't have the Holy Spirit the way we do. But there were signs. And they missed them, that Jesus was the Christ. A matter of fact, the religious leaders of the day, when they saw Jesus heal, there's one account where they say, we can't deny that a miracle was done. They said, but we're still going to try to shut him down anyway. That's my paraphrase. And so they plotted, and they said, we're not going to let you heal, or we don't want you to minister to anybody anymore. And you're going to find that pattern all the way through the book of Acts. But you're going to find that there were signs all along the way that confirmed. And I'm going to show you this in a minute. Isaiah 7:14 says this. It says, therefore the Lord himself will give you a sign. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son and shall call his name Emmanuel, or God with us. So Isaiah, before Jesus is even born, God's telling the world through Isaiah, he's telling his people, he's saying, listen, I'm going to give you a sign, and the sign is that you're going to find a virgin. And she's going to give birth to a son. Now, how many virgins had given birth to sons? Thank you. Amen. Come see me after. You get a prize. No, I'm just kidding. Luke chapter 2, verses 11 and 12, it says, for there is born to you this day in the city of David a Savior who is Christ the Lord. Now listen, and this will be the sign to you. You will find a babe wrapped in swaddling cloths lying in a manger. Another sign. Another sign. And said, this is, he's born today, and this is how you're going to know who it is, because you're going to find him in swaddling clothes lying in a manger. All right? Now let's look at the life of Christ. The first miracle he does, John chapter 2, verse 11, it says, this beginning of signs Jesus did in Cana of Galilee and manifested his glory, and his disciples believed him. Well, what was the sign? Anybody know? It was turning the water into wine. A miracle. You don't turn water into wine. If I could turn water into wine, then I'd be banking. You know what I'm saying? If I could do that in a good tasting wine, right? He performed this miracle. Now listen, and it says it was the beginning of the signs. It was the beginning, the first miracle, beginning of the signs. And then if we go to Matthew chapter 24, If you brought your Bible, you can turn over there because I do want to read that. You'll have to let me get there too. Matthew 24, and we're going to read in verse 3. It says, "Now as they sat on the Mount of Olives, the disciples came to him privately saying, 'Tell us, when will these things be, and what will be the sign of your coming and of the end of the age?' And Jesus answered and said to him, 'Take heed that no one deceives you, for many will come in my name saying, I am the Christ, and will deceive many. And you will hear of wars and rumors of wars. See that you are not troubled, for all these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet. For nation will rise against nation and kingdom against kingdom. There'll be famines and pestilences and earthquakes in various places. All these are the beginning of sorrows. They will deliver you up to tribulation and kill you, and you'll be hated by all nations for my name's sake. And then many will be offended, will betray one another, and will hate one another. Then many false prophets will rise up and deceive many. And because lawlessness will abound, the love of many will grow cold. But he who endures to the end shall be saved, and the gospel of the kingdom will be preached in all the world as a witness to all the nations, and then the end will come." And you can read in Mark chapter 13, verse 3 through 13, Luke 21, verses 7 through 19. It's the same passage of scriptures there. And it's giving just an outlook. And Jesus is saying, listen, this is some of the signs that you're going to see that are ushering in, you know, the end of the end, right? And how many of you, when you read the signs, how many of you know? I mean, we've had earthquakes around forever, but earthquakes are ticking up, right? You have lawlessness that abounds more than it ever has. When whole groups of people are running in and gutting out stores, we haven't had that before on this level. Not as long as I've been alive. So all of these things, the hearts of people growing cold, there's more hardness in the hearts of men today than there's ever been. Now, I'm not saying all this. I'm not trying to do an end time teaching, but I want you to understand there are signs that we get to see to recognize the time in which we live, to recognize what's going on around us, and to be able to see that, hey, I may not be able to know the exact moment that Jesus is coming, but I know that he's coming, and these signs continually to ramp up and point towards that. And I might not want to ignore it. I might not want to find myself, one of the other passages says that they were living life and carousing. That means that they were giving no regard to the things of God. They were just living their life, partying their life away, doing what they wanted to do, and keeping God out of it. Well, I tell you what, you can do that. You and I can make that decision and that choice. God's not going to force you to walk with him and live for him. But in the same respect, you also almost have to stick your head in the ground and ignore everything that's going on around you and realize that if there was a day that I ought to make sure that I find myself in Christ, right? That I might want to consider that today. Oh, well, God loves me. He won't send anybody to hell. Well, that's not what the Word says. That's not what the Bible says. He's clearly written everything in there. And so we look at the signs. Listen, Jesus could come back today, right? So tomorrow, I'm just going to watch an eclipse. You know, well, there are going to be earthquakes. I don't know. There was one a few days ago in New York, in New Jersey. We don't live very far from a fault line. That, you know what I'm saying? Like, that could happen any day. I'm not living my life in fear of all the things that could take place. What I want to do is I want to see the signs that my redemption draws nigh. And because it's close, I am in Christ, living for him, walking with him. My trust is in him. So even if the whole world goes to in a handbasket, I'm not worried. Because my life is in Christ. You say, well, Pastor Rob, what are we supposed to be doing? Well, I'm glad you asked. All right? So I want to show you some scriptures about signs that are signs that we ought to be looking towards and walking in our life. Let's start with Acts chapter 2, verses 17 through 21. This is the day of Pentecost has taken place. This Holy Spirit is poured out, you know, and they have that whole experience with God. You have some mocking them, saying they're just drunk with new wine. And then you get Peter stands up and says, hey guys, they're not drunk. This is what was spoken by the prophet Joel, right? So let's see what it says in verse 17. It says, and it shall come to pass in the last days, says God, that I will pour out of my spirit on all flesh. Your sons and your daughters will prophesy. Your young men shall see visions. Your old men shall dream dreams. And on my men servants and on my maid servants, I will pour out of my spirit in those days, and they shall prophesy. I will show wonders in heaven above and signs in the earth beneath, blood and fire and vapor of smoke. The sun shall be turned into darkness and the moon into blood before the coming of the great and awesome day of the Lord. And it shall come to pass that whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. You know what happened that day? 3,000 people got saved. And so we saw on the day of Pentecost, we saw a sign. We saw the sign of the Holy Spirit being released and being poured out upon all flesh. And then he came on and he said, listen, it's not just going to be today, but these signs are going to follow you. Come on now. That your sons and your daughters are going to what? That they're going to prophesy. I'm going to pour out my spirit on all flesh. Your young men shall see visions. Your old men shall dream dreams. Those are the signs that are supposed to be happening in our lives. Those are not arbitrary things. And they're not just for a select few. Are you a son or a daughter? I am. Are you a young man? I am in Jesus' name. You know what I'm saying? I'm not where Pastor Rick is yet. I'm younger. Now he'd say, well, I notice your hair is a little grayer, so... But do you understand what I'm saying? You see, if we're not careful, we're chasing signs, but we're not walking in signs. You are a sign and a wonder as a child of God. Why? Because when you met Jesus, something changed in you. Matter of fact, everything changed. You are now, once dead to God, you're now alive to God. See, it's not just some religious experience. The problem is that if we're not careful, we shift over to all these signs, which are important, and you should research and study and do all of that. I'm not negating that. But there is a sign in you, and it's called the power of God. It's called the Holy Spirit, or He's called the Holy Spirit in you. And it ought to be working in your life. He ought to be a part of your life on a daily basis. Why? Because Jesus came to save the lost. He came to redeem mankind. Acts chapter 2, verse 43, it says, then fear came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were done through the apostles. And you say, okay, well, Pastor Rob, it was done through the apostles. Yeah, but Joel said, and even Peter said, quoting Joel in Acts chapter 2, that it'd be also your sons and daughters, your men servants, your maid servants, your old men, your old women, your young women. The enemy works overtime to get you just to live a fleshly, earthly life. That's what the enemy wants you to do. He wants you to be powerless. He wants you to be hopeless. He wants you to be just, well, it's just little old me. What am I going to do? Well, you've got the Spirit of God in you as a child of God. You've got God's life in you. I'm not saying you have to go around and I'm not saying if these signs aren't in your life, you're not saved. Please, I'm not saying that. If you've confessed Jesus Christ as Lord, believed on Him with all your heart that He died on the cross and He was raised up, Romans 10, 9 and 10, and you've put your faith in Him, then you are saved. Okay? But I want you to understand there's more that He has for your life. Acts chapter 4, verse 29 and 30. It says, "Now, Lord, look on their threats and grant to your servants that with all boldness they may speak your word by stretching out your hand to heal, and that signs and wonders may be done through the name of your holy servant Jesus." This was after the religious leaders of the day had just threatened them to no longer preach in the name of Jesus. And they came back to their church, they came back to their company, and they told them all that was said, and then they prayed this prayer. Romans chapter 15, verse 18, it says, "I will not dare to speak of any of those things which Christ has not accomplished through me in word and deed to make the Gentiles obedient, in mighty signs and wonders by the power of the Spirit of God, so that from Jerusalem and round about to..." I'm not even going to try to lyricum. I hear you laughing. "I have fully preached the gospel of Christ." The Apostle Paul says, he's talking and he's declaring this, and he's saying, "Listen, I've preached to you a gospel of power." What separates the good news or the gospel of Jesus Christ from every other religion on the face of the earth? Power. You say, "Well, God's living." Well, I know. How do you know that? Jesus is alive. How do you know that? Well, I've met Him. Well, it's the power of God that calls you and I to be born again. It's not just a philosophy that you have adhered to. And it's not just the one that makes the most sense. Come on now. I preached to you last week that if Jesus didn't raise from the dead, then the Bible says that if we have hope in this life only in Christ, it says we're of all men the most miserable. Well, what raised Him from the dead? It wasn't a religion. It wasn't church attendance. What raised Christ from the dead? Who raised Him from the dead? The Holy Spirit, the power of God. The same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead, He said, also dwells in you and will quicken your mortal bodies. It's the same power in you. So the separation in what we preach and what we believe, there's got to be something to it that's more than an intelligent argument. And we ought to be able to, Paul said, we need to get ready or be ready to give a defense for the hope that's within us. But my testimony is how the power of God changed my life. My testimony is not that I just walked to the altar. It's not that I just prayed a prayer. The testimony of my life is that when I met Jesus, that something changed in me. That's my testimony. That I once was lost and now I'm found. That I once was broken and now I've been made whole. That once before I was bound up with all of these things, but now I have freedom and liberty in Christ. Something has changed. And it's not just that, hey, I came in and they convinced me and now I left. And you got people today walking away from the faith, getting on social media all proud of how they are ex-believers. It's like, well, you never believed in the first place. You lived in religion, but you didn't live in His power. Romans 1:16, the Apostle Paul again, he says, "For I am not ashamed of the what? Gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God to salvation. For everyone who believes..." for the Jew first and also for the Greek. He said that it's the gospel and it's the power of God to salvation. The gospel that we preach, the Apostle Paul called it the word of faith, which we preach. The Bible says the word is near you, it's in your heart. So when we put our faith in the gospel, it's not me just coming into mental agreement. It is me experiencing the life-changing power of God. And it changes something in me. Acts 6:8, Stephen, full of faith and power, did great wonders and signs among the people. Hebrews 2:4, God also bearing witness both with signs and wonders, with various miracles and gifts of the Holy Spirit according to his own will. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verses 4 and 5, he says, "In my speech and my preaching were not with persuasive words of human wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power, and that your faith should not be in the wisdom of men." Your faith should not be in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. I believe with all my heart the power's coming back. I believe that. I believe the church has shifted away because we didn't want to pay the price, if you will, to position ourselves and live in Christ. Right? In other words, we didn't want to spend the time in his word and in prayer and position ourselves in a place for us to be used by God. And so when that's not happening, you're left with the wisdom of men. And so then the messages become more a soul message to make you feel better in here, but nothing changes in here. And we've got to let this part be changed. Amen. I'm not saying the mind isn't important. The Bible talks about renewing the mind. It's vital. It's important. We have to do that. But the gospel message is a message of power. It's a message of transformation. It's a message of healing. It's a message of hope. It's a message of restoration. It's a message of love. God's love for you and God's love for me that he demonstrated in Christ. But I don't want to serve a religious entity. I serve the living God. I serve the living God. And today I want to challenge you. I want to challenge your faith today. I want to challenge your life today. You say, "Well, man, I can't do that." Yeah, you can. When you realize how much you're loved and you begin to realize your identity in Christ Jesus, it changes you. Because here's the good news. The power isn't you. The power isn't you. You're not the source. If I go stick my finger in the light socket, I'm going to get a taste of some power. But that light socket isn't the source. It's just a conduit. It's just a conductor. And I tell you what God desires, you don't have to be anything special to feel the electricity that comes out of that light socket. I could take every one of you and tell you, go stick your finger in there, and unless something's, you know, wrong, you're going to feel it. Now, stay with me. So that means that as people come in contact with your life, a life not lived in perfection, it's just a life lived in Christ. When they come in contact with you, they come in contact with the power, but you're not the source. You're not the source. But if I take that socket and I go and pull the wires out of the back, right, and tell you to go stick your finger there, you're not going to feel anything. Why? Because it's disconnected from the source. So my challenge to you is that you stay connected. And you don't stay connected by works. You stay connected by relationship. Some people say, "Well, you know, I've been going to church every Sunday for the last however long and nothing seems to change." Well, maybe it's because your focus is your attendance instead of the focus being the source, who's Jesus. Are you listening to me? That's why Easter is still the largest attended Sunday. Because I want to be able to say I was connected or, No, this is a daily thing. And it's because He loves you. He believes in you. And He has so much more for your life. So much more. So much more. Amen. Listen, Mark 16:15. Right? And some of you, you may say, well, that's not in the original. Well, it's in more manuscripts than it's not. And He says, these signs will follow them that believe. They'll lay hands on the sick and they'll recover. It says if they, be able to handle a snake. That's not what that means. Y'all know that. Now, some people don't, but y'all know that. It's not about going and handling snakes. Amen. Just talks about the fact that no deadly thing that comes against your life will succeed or prosper. Amen. Listen, these signs will follow them that believe. These signs will follow them that believe. So as believers, there's got to be signs that not only we look to, come on now, but there's signs that follow us. And it's not because of who I am in the flesh. It doesn't matter whether you're the pastor or the nursery worker or you're the guest in the house as a believer. You know, that's irrelevant. What's relevant is that Christ is in you. The Holy Spirit is in you as a believer. And the Holy Spirit just wants the opportunity to be able to minister to and touch people around you. And you're never going to be perfect enough to feel qualified for that. Are you listening to me? I mean, just go look at the lives of the apostles. They weren't perfect people. God hasn't used any perfect person from Adam on. And even in Adam and Eve, you found out they weren't perfect. Are y'all listening to me? I'm not saying they weren't created that way. I'm just saying they opened the door. They made a mistake. They sinned. And so for your life and my life, God's not up there saying, I will only use you if you're perfect. What God is saying is that if you are a believer, I'll use you in spite of your imperfections. I just need you to step out. I just need you to be bold. I just need you to be willing for me to flow through and me to use. Amen. I want to challenge you. And I'm not saying you're not doing it. Okay? But I just stirred in my heart today because I believe it's time. I've always believed, but I just believe that if we're going to reach the world and see a harvest that we've not seen before, amen, then there's things that God wants to do in and through us. Amen. There's things He wants to accomplish and do, and there's things He wants to do in you and through you. There's people right now around you that need what's in you. They need to hear your testimony. They need to know, how did God change your life? They may need you just to pray with them. That's one of the most powerful things you could do for somebody, is pray with them and them experience the power of God in their life. It's not through feelings. Sometimes you pray for people and nothing happens. Or at least you think that, and then you find out later on God touched their life. Listen, last Sunday, I'll give you an example. Last Sunday, if you were here at the end, God gave me a couple of words of knowledge of people in the sanctuary. And what that means is God showed me something about somebody that was here that I did not know. Okay? And I spoke it out. And later on that day, I got a message from somebody saying, hey, what you spoke out, this person was dealing with. And that person was like, how did they know, or why did they even, you know what I'm saying? What it is, it's a sign to them to just continue to let them know that, hey, God loves you, God is real, God cares about you. You see what I'm saying? You come, those of you are here most of the time, and you may hear those things, and I may not call them up, and you may not know. I'm just telling you. I hear that all the time. That was me, or that, you know. And so those are signs of God working in people's lives, and it's to confirm to them that their faith in Christ is real. Amen. Hallelujah. He loves you. Amen. Bow your heads with me.
We are so excited that you joined us today. For more information, go to myclc.church. Have a great day.